Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. We're gonna play on and stand strong with Drolo and Dibs. Turn the game on. Bump up the volume. It's time to play ball. Drolo and Dibs. Turn the game on.
All right, happy Tuesday. Welcome to Joe, Lo, and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. Buckle up. This is a good one. Javier Lopez, huge fan of the program. Well, yeah, he's a huge fan of the program.
Huge. One of the billions.
He's going to join us in an hour. The four-time World Series champ to talk Bryce Harper, Kyler Murray, all that good stuff. Chris Rose, the host of Intentional Talk, one of our favorites, will join us at 7:45. And the great Greg Papa today at 8:30. Let's jump right into it. The big news that surfaced yesterday, and there's a lot we have to peel back with the number one pick in the NFL draft. The Cardinals, the Niners, free agency, the draft, things are moving and shaking. But the story as it relates locally to both a baseball team and a football team, Kyler Murray, the Heisman Trophy winning Oklahoma Sooners quarterback, has declared that he will enter the NFL draft. In a statement he released on Twitter, quote, "Moving forward, I am firmly and fully committing my life and time to becoming an NFL quarterback. Football has been my love and passion my entire life. I was raised to play QB, and I very much look forward to dedicating 100% of myself to being the best QB possible and winning NFL championships. I have started an extensive training program to further prepare myself for upcoming NFL workouts and interviews. I eagerly await the opportunity to continue to prove to NFL decision makers that I am the franchise QB in this draft." That is Kyler Murray on Twitter yesterday. Kyler Murray not mentioning the Oakland A's at all in his statement. He will return $1.29 million of the $1.5 million signing bonus the A's gave him last year, forfeiting the remaining $3.16 million. So he's still got about $300,000 out of the A's for this, which I guess that's good work if you can find it because you didn't actually have to do anything for it. The A's countered with a response that is about tenfold. David Force, we'll start with him. "We took the best athlete on the board and what we thought was probably the best player on the board, too. The process was right, and I think Billy Bean told you guys this morning, we don't regret the pick at all." Bob Melvin chimed in saying it wasn't a shock to him. "We still have the rights to him, but it looks to me like he is going to have a nice little football career. We are going to be rooting for him." So, Kyler Murray going to the NFL. Not really surprising at this point, but when you heard the news yesterday, Lo, how did it land for you?
You know what? It landed on hollow ground because it was empty to me because I knew the fact that he was going to go pro. We talked about it some weeks ago, Joe, and looked at him and we said, man, this guy should be playing on Sundays. You look at what he's done and look at the NFL, where this new league is going, pass happy league. You got to be mobile, and he's a very mobile guy. And I kudos to Bob Melvin, guys. We know Bob Melvin. We met Bob Melvin, had great conversations with him. He said, hey, this guy's going to have a nice career. We're rooting for him. But it goes to show you, where's baseball? Here's a guy, and it was rumored to say that they wanted to even increase the signing bonus. They wanted to give him even more money. It goes to show you that baseball wanted a superstar, and they wanted a guy like Kyler Murray to come in and help boost the ratings and everything else. He chose football over baseball, and you look at the money that he's going to get now, it's going to be far exceed baseball, but it's just interesting that you see a young man comes out the camp, goes through a little bit of it, and probably realizes, and as he's at practice, batting practice, or as he is as an A, looking out there and he's practicing, looking at the stadium and like saying, you know what? The rush isn't here. Compare football to baseball, just the rush and the energy is totally different. I watched 30 for 30, and Deion Sanders said when he played football, he was primetime. He wrote a signature, primetime. When he played baseball, he was just Dion. It's a different atmosphere. It's a different feeling from these two sports.
Interesting. Very good quote on the Deion Sanders thing. I have not checked that out yet. Has anyone else seen
yeah,
that?
Yeah, it's awesome.
Is it?
It's awesome. I actually saw it with my 15-year-old who didn't obviously live through the primetime career, but you see him on the helicopter going game to game, and you remember the moment when he was going from a playoff game to an NFL game and then back to another playoff game for crying out loud. Yeah, he loved it.
You could. I don't care how old you are. You're as a kid, you watch that, you're going to be like, oh, my God, that dude. He was
and I forgot how good of a baseball player he was because I was doing fantasy at the time, and you know he was a 300 hitter. He had a little bit of pop, but you imagine him playing now with launch angle and all that. He could be a 20-homer guy.
He would have been MVP in the finals if they would have won that game. In the, when they, the World Series they were in, he batted over 500, Joe. I can't believe. I mean, it was amazing.
I'm just shocked you have all this Deion Sanders baseball data at the ready this morning. Look at this guy.
Mr. Baseball, we call him. Mr. 3000.
Mr. Baseball.
Yeah, it's interesting what you say about Kyler Murray because I think you are spot on as it pertains to his passion. 21 years of age, would you rather be quarterback potentially of an NFL team or an outfielder playing somewhere in low A ball? Because he's not starting in high A, double A, triple A, let alone the show.
He's on the bus.
So you're playing in God knows where in front of, you know, 1,200 people with advertisements lining the outfield fence. You're on buses going to and fro.
In Philadelphia somewhere.
Or you could be playing at Philadelphia for, you know, the Oakland Raiders for some other team. It's obviously a lot more sizzle in being an NFL quarterback than a Major League Baseball player, which he wouldn't be right now.
Does it surprise anybody? Does it surprise anybody that a kid growing up who has now tasted the limelight? Let's go through Kyler Murray's season. No one really knew of him entering the college football year. Those diehards who follow Oklahoma and college football, sure, but he wasn't a household name. He was the kid taking over for Baker Mayfield, who had just won a Heisman Trophy, who had just quarterbacked Oklahoma into the college football playoff, and who had just been the number one overall draft pick via the Cleveland Browns. So he's stepping in, and all anyone knows about him is that the A's already drafted this kid. He's a baseball player. But they reached an agreement where he's going to play 1 year of football and then he's going to commit himself to baseball. Scott Boras, the super agent who represented Murray, talked about this and reiterated this over and over again. So the kid starts playing, plays well, rolls up big numbers. People start talking about how exciting he is. He starts probably getting a taste of what it's like to be the big man on campus at Oklahoma. No joke. You know what it's like at Oklahoma.
Oh,
you went there
man.
For a recruiting trip.
Sooner born, sooner bred. Going to be a sooner day I'm dead.
Not a small school. Not a Division III small school. This is a big-time powerhouse. So you're walking around campus.
Oh,
now suddenly you're a star there. But this is still small potatoes in the grand scheme of things. You go on to get to a point where now suddenly people are saying, you know what, man? You might have a career in the NFL. So now it's, I've already proven that I can make it in baseball. Someone gave me millions of dollars. I also can make it in football. People start throwing around names like Bo Jackson, Deion Sanders. Suddenly you're in that category. You're working your way towards the end of the season. You're quarterbacking your team into the playoff. You win college football's most prestigious award.
Yeah.
You're in New York City. Everyone's talking about you. Talking about you going number one overall in the draft. You can continue the stardom. You can continue the trajectory of making lots of money, being famous, having access to everything. Or you can not only go to baseball and put a huge halt on that, you can go to the Oakland A's, which is one of the smallest market, least impressive, least popular teams in the country. I know it stings to hear, but let's be honest. If the Red Sox drafted him, what do you think he's doing? They just won a World Series. Wait a minute. I could be in the Red Sox farm system playing in Boston. They win a lot of titles there. What if the Yanks draft him, right? What if the Cubbies draft him? Those are all stories and conversations you can have, but the A's drafted him in a sport
tougher.
Where, what, you're going to come play in front of 8,000 fans when you're in a playoff race? He's not going to do that. This is what the younger generation wants. They want to be stars. And if you have an opportunity to be a star, what are you going to do? You're going to worry about a concussion? You're going to worry about someone hurting you? His deal is fully guaranteed. If he goes one overall, that's $30 million in the bag, baby. Plus endorsements. Life is over.
If he goes like 15th overall, he still gets $12, $15 million. So it's not like it's go number one overall or else. As long as you're probably going to be a first-round talent. And here's another thing. If he goes through the combine and he's 5'8 and a quarter and he's got small hands and he doesn't make all the throws and all of a sudden the vertical leap is not there and you're thinking, uh-oh, and he starts to slide down the draft board, then it's, well, maybe I don't want to play football anymore anyway. Maybe I want to go do baseball. Maybe he can bounce back and forth. He can play one sport against the other. He's got unique leverage as it pertains to this draft.
He does, because they say you could basically, and actually, you was listening to Mel Kiper yesterday, and Mel Kiper said a lot of people were telling this young man, it's easier to go from football to baseball than baseball to football.
No doubt.
So they were talking about that, and that was one of his decisions. And trust me, the guy's not going to go run at the combine. You know what he's going to do, Joe. He's going to have a private workout and on his in his place in Oklahoma, and he's going to turn it out. He'll run a 4.4 or better. He'll throw the ball over the place. He's going to be have his receivers out there to know, and he's going to have his pro date. And trust me, the guy's going to light it up because he's going to control the environment.
The measurement, though, is still going to be the measurement, and that's going to be the most fascinating number between now and April is where does he come in height-wise?
Great point, but think of it like this. Is that going to catch anyone by surprise?
No.
He went through all the research to determine whether or not he should go play football or baseball. It's not as if it's like, look, at some point, the NFL is going to find out I'm kind of short. They already know.
They know.
Everyone knows.
They know,
I watch almost every Oklahoma game this
Buddy,
season.
They know.
But you know how this works, guys. When you get to the measurables and you get to...
He's sliding.
He may not do all the bench press stuff, but if he only benches it 14 times, all of a sudden these things now become red flags.
Yeah. Now, there are a lot of good questions. Number one, centering around a conspiracy theory that could help the 49ers. Conspiracy theory being floated right now is that the Cardinals and Cliff Kingsbury behind closed doors told him, look, pick football over baseball, we'll take you number one in the NFL draft. Whether or not it's true, that remains to be seen, but the Niners are in a very advantageous position now that Kyler Murray's going pro. We're going to have that for you next here on 95.7 The Game.
Joe Lowendibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
All right, so how's this for conspiracy theories? Joe Lowendibs, 95.7 The Game. Oklahoma quarterback Kyler Murray has announced done with baseball. Full commitment to the NFL. He's entering the draft, and now it's game on. Scouting reports on Kyler Murray are surfacing everywhere. The A's have released statements. They're going to go on down in Arizona trying to get things organized. They still retain his rights, but it's time to move forward as a baseball team. The NFL? Well, how do they see Kyler Murray? Is he a franchise quarterback, and is he worthy of the number one overall pick? One conspiracy theory making the rounds is that Arizona, the NFL franchise in possession of the number one overall pick, through back channels, let it be known, and again, this is a conspiracy theory that we're working with here, let it be known to Murray's camp that should he give up baseball for football, they would draft him number one overall. Now, some people may think that's crazy. Sure, I can understand that. We have no idea if this is true or not. What we do know is that Kyler Murray has just signed with Eric Burkhart as his NFL agent. I don't know if that means much, but I do know that he also represents Cliff Kingsbury, who happens to be the head coach of the Arizona Cardinals.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. Put your detective hat on. What do you think?
Wow. I think Arizona, Joe, as much grief as we give them, they were forward thinking. I think Arizona, if you go down this rabbit hole, you can say, okay, Arizona brings in the guy, their head coach, and they tell him, look, what do you want? What are we going to do? Here's Arizona, brings in the guy, knowing all together that they're going to hire him, and they know the quarterback that he wants. He tells his agent, okay, I'm in. You're my guy. This could be, you got to follow it. I mean, if this happens, this would be unbelievable. If he ends up number one overall to Arizona,
it'd be a huge mistake for Arizona to tip their hand 72 days, 9 hours, and 40 minutes ahead of time.
Is that accurate?
I just punched it up just so I could have that little note.
There's actually a countdown clock, or did you do
the math? DraftCountdown.com if you need it, as we count down to our upcoming trip to Tennessee, hopefully for the draft, but that's neither here nor there, as I digest. 72 days, Lo. If you're Arizona picking number one, and you like Kyler Murray, and most experts have Kyler Murray falling in that 10 to 15 to 18 range, why in God's great green earth would you tip your hand 72 days?
Because he's your man!
But you can trade back. Fat Joe had a song, I believe it was called Trade Back.
Lean Back.
Well, either one. Lean Back, Trade Back.
For purposes of the conversation, same thing.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Trade Back. Trade back. If you're Arizona and you know you can get him at 10, why not pretend that you're all in on Quinn and Williams and make it the Quinn and Williams show and how you're going to match him up with Chandler Jones on your defensive line and you're going to change the game and then you get some draft capital and you still get your guy.
I think you're partway right. I think when you're number one, there is no wrong move as to who you're into. I think you say you're into everybody.
Right.
Right? We've seen this before. I think you're into Kyler Murray. I think you're into every other quarterback prospect coming out. I think you're into Quinnen Williams. I think you're into Nick Bosa. You're into everybody. And you just wait to see who calls to talk about those options.
You ain't getting him, though, Joe. You ain't getting him at 10. I'm going to tell you right now. The New York football Giants will take him at 6, no question. If you look at what they have there, they got a great receiver. They got a guy that can run. And you got the best running back, probably the second best running back in the year. It's not as physical as Zeke Elliott, but he's got way more juice, got way more moves. Now you got a three-headed monster. You got your receiver. You got your quarterback. You got your running back. You don't have a great offensive line. He's going to make you better because now you can't just pass rush him. Because you got to sit back because he's very elusive. I don't see him getting past the Giants, in my opinion.
The New York football Giants. Yeah. Where are they sitting? I don't have it in front of me right now.
I think five.
Somewhere around five.
Right? Oh, six.
And then we've got to figure out the other quarterback prospects that are out there. Do you like Murray more than Haskins coming out of Ohio State? Haskins is big, physical, big arm, fits the NFL mold. Murray, there's a lot to like, but durability is going to be a concern. At that size, one of these defensive ends put a lick on you. I mean, Aaron Donald gets his hands on Kyler Murray. He falls on him. Kyler Murray goes through the earth, comes through in China, has to figure out how to get back before the play clock runs out. Very difficult to go from China to Los Angeles or Arizona in the 40 seconds allotted in between plays.
It's a long Uber ride, too. That's about $40,000 if you're going to take Lyft or Uber, for
sure. Elon Musk has not figured that out yet.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's a problem. You have to factor these things in when you're dealing with the NFL draft. All these things matter.
Yeah, I think that you have a...
As you try to make sense of that
I'm
comment.
Like, But you got to.
Do I address this? Do I just move on? I'm moving on.
Right. Does LA really pop out in China, or is it closer to Bangladesh?
Great question.
We'll have to put our crack staff on that. Yeah. Intern Joe, we got a project for you.
You come out and think you're in China. It turns out you're in Pakistan. Woo, boy! Now everyone's got nucleus in those situations.
You got problems.
Different ballgame altogether.
Yeah,
you got problems.
Does Kyler Murray fit the New York Giants system though, Lowe, to be able to go out of the shotgun? Because you can't really play him under center at 5'8". And expect him to be able to hit that third step and get the ball out with those trees in front of him.
Yeah, I just think that if you look at what they do a lot of gun run. They do a lot of gun. So now you got the running back, and he's a guy that likes to pick his hole. So now you're in the gun. You got the read option, several things that you can do with Kyler Murray. It's going to be interesting because I think that the Giants, he does. And I think that you got Eli Manning. Now, at the end of the year, you can switch. You can go from Eli to your future. So you can still hold down Eli, can hold him down and train him and get him right. And now halfway during the season or, you know, 8-9 games in a year, you can go ahead and make that transition.
It's unlikely that Murray fits what the Giants want to do. What I mean by that is they use a grading system that was implemented by George Young way back in the day. They still stick to it. Now, not necessarily by the letter of the law, but it's their general grading system. And the two big fundamentals in this system are we want size and speed. That's how the Giants want to build their football team. Big, fast, physical athletes. Now, I know that that sounds, that's what the NFL is. But that's the manner in which they look. They want to be a big football team. They want to be a fast football team. And it sounds general, but that's kind of how their scouting model is graded. Murray doesn't necessarily fit that. Very fast, but Haskins, while not as fast, much bigger if they look quarterback. Let me pivot on this quickly for a second. This is unbelievable news for the 49ers, is it not? I mean, now that Arizona is thinking about Murray at one, say they don't want Murray at one. People who do want Murray at one may be willing to trade up to get him. This makes Nick Bosa much more available for the Niners at two, does it not? Yeah. Is there any way to slice this where this is a bad situation for the Niners?
No. The only thing that would hurt, quote unquote, would be if Arizona took Nick Bosa, but then you've got your pick of Quinnen Williams, you've got Josh Allen. You've got all kinds of flexibility.
Everyone could be trying to trade with you.
And everyone could be trying to trade with you as well to come up and get Kyler Murray. And you know how it is with quarterbacks in the draft. Once one goes, they all start to go. So even if Arizona decides for some reason on another quarterback and it's not Kyler Murray, someone then maybe tries to trade up to two to get Kyler Murray with the Niners pick.
Any way in which this is bad news for the Niners?
If something we don't foresee, if Jimmy G's not 100%, and the Niners, as the Niners say, godly, we look at him, OTAs, maybe it's not there right before the draft. Do they say, look, let's get in the quarterback market? Do we shop him? Do we try to trade Jimmy G? What can we get for him? Can we get another first round and then pick up Kyler Murray? Now you're on a rookie quarterback. You got a rookie quarterback. contract, but you still, and then you traded a quarterback that's got a 5-year deal, so the team has rights, and then you grab another first round and pick for Jimmy G, if that's something you can look at.
There's How about this? Trade Garoppolo to the Warriors for Klay Thompson. How's that sound? No, you don't like that one? Nick in Lafayette, Los Angeles, China. Nick, if you went through L.A., would you come out in China?
Hey, guys. It's called an antipode, and no, you'd be more east of Madagascar, somewhere in the middle of the Indian Ocean.
Wow. So closer to Africa than China.
Very much so.
Fantastic call. Thank you so much for the information. We will dissect that. We will dissect that,
Strong
and we will
call.
Return.
Thank you.
Now, I don't know if we return with that, but we've got more on Kyler Murray. Your phone calls, 888-957-9570. What does this mean for baseball? How bad a sign is this if star athletes are choosing sports other than baseball when baseball was supposed to be the one that was, well, the safest and the one that led to the most profit?
Joe Lowendibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
All right, so what do we make of Kyler Murray's decision to choose the NFL over Major League Baseball? 888-957-9570. This is excellent news for the San Francisco 49ers, who are scheduled to pick at number 2 in this April's NFL draft. Why? Several reasons. Number one, the Cardinals, who their new head coach, Cliff Kingsbury, is represented by the same agent who Kyler Murray just signed. They could take Murray number 1 overall, which would leave Nick Bosa and a variety of other elite talents for the Niners at 2. The Cardinals could pass on Murray at number 1. And then when he's available at 2, someone could call the Niners for a trade. There's a lot to like here. The supply just went up. The demand will go up even more. So that's a great situation to be in. But what does it mean for baseball? There was a time when the heavyweight division in boxing was the cream of the crop in professional sports. You go back to the Muhammad Ali era, Joe Frazier, George Foreman, Ken Norton, the list goes on and on. That was premier elite level professional sports entertainment. You would not miss those fights. Everybody knew who the heavyweight champ of the world is. Now there's 6 or 7 or 8 of them, and right, no one really cares and no one watches, and it's a vicious, dangerous sport. But if you were an elite athlete coming up, boxing was something you looked into. Now, not so much. The studies on brain damage, the opportunities to make more money and get an education playing college football or college basketball have steered great athletes in that direction rather than boxing. Not to say boxing's dying, but, you know, boxing isn't where it was back in the 70s. What does this say for baseball? When you have an opportunity as a top 10 pick to join the Oakland A's, already put a few million in your pocket, play for a couple years in the minors, and then work your way up. Your risk of injury, or at least career-threatening, career-ending injury, has dropped significantly from baseball versus football. And your career earnings potential, well, you don't see too many NFL contracts exceeding $100 million. You see some, a handful. But in Major League Baseball, it's more routine.
Right.
So more money, less risk of injury, longer playing career. And yet, a guy like Kyler Murray says, I'm going pro. I want to play football over baseball. Is that a bad sign for baseball?
It really is, Joe. And I think baseball is broken. And they have to fix it. And it's going to have to be drastic. They're going to have to overhaul this baseball system, the way that they do the form system, the way they get these young guys. You're going to have to give them more money to make it feasible for guys to come out, especially these guys with talent like that. You got to say, look, we have to switch this. And not saying you're giving them, because you look at baseball, like you talked about, Joe, they're guaranteed contract. They get to $200 million, $300 million. The contracts out there are absurd, and they're guaranteed. So now I think you're going to have to switch certain things with baseball. You're going to have to start giving a little bit more earlier in their career. And that's going to keep them out there and going to keep them interested in baseball. I don't think right now, the way that the system is set up, I think it's going to have to be restructured. Baseball, as we know it, you look at what's going on, Bryce Harper, a lot of guys that are out there, Machado, we talk about these guys, thought they were getting at $300 million. It's drying up. I think that baseball right now is hurting. And you just had a young phenom that everyone said, hey, this guy's going to be a hell of a baseball player. He can hit for power. He can run. He can steal bases, do all those things. He chose football. this is not good for baseball. In Major League Baseball, they wanted him. They wanted him for their brand because he would have been selling tickets, and unfortunately, they lost it. I don't think it's
And he's a rare commodity in baseball in that he could have been an African-American star, and we see the numbers of African-Americans playing Major League Baseball. It's plummeting into single digits. There's a couple things at play here, Lo, and I don't think you're totally off the mark, but on the one hand, baseball can't change its draft structure to mirror football in that you can't give a guy who's a first-round pick that much guaranteed money. We think about Mark Appel, the kid from out in the East Bay who was a number one overall player who never even sniffed the majors. You can't give that guy a 22 or 30 million guaranteed, which is what the number one pick in football gets, right, Joe? You get 30 million guaranteed, essentially.
North of that, I believe. The entire contract is guaranteed in football.
So you can't do that for baseball players because there's no guarantee that Kyler Murray was ever going to make it to Major League Baseball. I mean, he did everything he did largely with an aluminum bat. There's so many question marks, but baseball does need to change some of the way that it structures these deals to where he can get a major league contract right away and get major league money, not $30 million a year,
I'm with you.
But get more money to entice him away.
I like that.
The other thing about baseball being broken, it's really not broken. Revenues are up. Attendance was slightly down, but baseball has to just change the way it markets itself to where more younger people, like you were saying, more younger athletes are drawn to the game as opposed to other things.
You're saying it's not broken. It's not broken for the teams and the owners, but is it broken for the players? Bryce Harper still unsigned. Manny Machado still unsigned. Justin Verlander just came out and denounced the entire approach that all these teams are tanking and unwilling to pay big money for. Guys, if you're rebuilding, he says, why not sign a guy like Harper to a 10-year deal? 26 to 36. Those are your prime years in baseball. I mean, I think part of this is the idea that you look at the way the Oakland A's do business and you ask yourself, do I want to be a part of this? Do I want to be in a playoff race where I play in front of 10,000 people? Do I want to be in a situation where I'm going to get nickel and dimed at every turn? And I know that's hard to hear, but, you know, the Josh Donaldson situation was one thing. You got this other scenario where, remember what happened to Chris Bryant? The Cubs wanted him up as a rookie, but they waited X amount of days to make sure they'd get one extra year of team control before they brought Brian up. His agent was screaming. He was screaming. The fans were screaming. They all wanted to see him. He was ready to play, but they waited just a few extra days to make sure they'd have that one full year of team control. It takes 6 years to reach the open market, 6 years of service to get there.
Too long.
You need to put 6 years of service in, and that doesn't count your time in the minor leagues, right?
Right.
So, I mean, why wouldn't you want to be who cares? You're the 18th overall pick. That money's completely guaranteed, and you get to start at quarterback. You get to be a star. People do not have patience anymore. They don't want to ride a bus.
And there's a lot of, and speaking, if you think about the African-American dibs you alluded to, there's a lot of guys out there that's very talented. That you could see them that play baseball, could be very, very athletic, and probably make it to the majors. But because financially, the way that it's set up for baseball, the youth, the club sports, they don't have the money. So when you don't have the money, you have less interest, you have less people watching, and now you're talking about it's not diverse as much as football. You look at football and other sports, it's more diverse. And so you are losing a significant amount of fans and others that could be playing the game of baseball if it was more financial toward minorities.
Right, and inner city programs are on the decline, and as we've talked about with our own kids, you know, the idea of just going out and playing ball, and Joe, we've mentioned this before, growing up, you just went out and played baseball a lot of times. You go out and play for 4 or 5 hours with the neighborhood kids. Nowadays, kids don't do that as much with baseball. You don't do it as much with football either, but it's such a specialized skill that once you start playing and you're in the pipeline, if you're a good athlete, they're going to find places for you.
What's one of the big arguments made on a regular basis as to why the United States isn't a national or a worldwide power in soccer, right? Isn't it that all the best athletes choose other sports?
Right.
Now, I'm not saying that's the definitive reason, but is that a legitimate reason as to why the U.S. may not compete on the same level as, say, Brazil, Argentina, and
Germany?
Yeah,
and historically, those programs, as Lo was talking about with baseball and AAU basketball, they cost a lot of money. So if you're a kid who doesn't have a lot of coin, soccer, you can play in the streets, which kids don't do in America, but to afford the club teams, the travel team, and all that other stuff, it's far too expensive.
So if you're an elite-level athlete, and we're seeing more and more, as bad as this trend is for you physically and emotionally as well, to focus on just one sport,
you should be a multi-sport athlete. I think most of us agree on that. You work different muscle groups. You're not going to burn out as quick as some of these kids who play baseball all year, football all year. But regardless, kids are specializing because if you specialize, you have a better chance of landing that scholarship, getting a free education, going pro, doing all that great stuff. If more and more children are going to specialize, is baseball going to get left by the wayside for some of these kids who have an opportunity to play multiple sports? Because right here is an example of a kid who was a top 10 pick. It's not as if he was a great football player with a chance in baseball. It almost seemed just a few months ago that he was a great baseball player with a chance in football. He's choosing the chance in football.
And it's because the football money is so much more guaranteed. And as a 21-year-old young man, football provides so much more excitement immediately. Yeah. And as you've talked about on the show over and over and over, it's the instant gratification of our society. If you're Murray, do you want to wait until you're 24 or 25 to make your Major League debut, or wait until early September to make your NFL debut? It's an easy choice.
It really is. And you think about a guy like Christian McCaffrey. This guy, if he was playing soccer, you look at Antonio Brown, if he was playing soccer and baseball, these guys are super athletes.
Damn, Christian McCaffrey is a soccer player. I never thought about that until now.
Think about it. I mean, how many moves and how he's so elusive. He would kill it in soccer. I mean, but look, why are they not playing it? Why are they not playing baseball? You look at the athletes, like you're saying, Dibs, football, you get the money right away. You get it up front. And you go baseball, you go soccer, it takes longer, and patients aren't here.
All right, speaking of baseball, from one problem to another, what's the deal with Bryce Harper? Is he going to sign? Should baseball be worried? I'll tell you who shouldn't be worried, Giants fans. While some people have an interesting take as to whether or not Harper to the Giants makes sense, there's one odds maker out there who sees this as a very advantageous situation for the Orange and Black. That's coming up next here on 95.7 The Game.
Joe Lowendibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
Baby, now we got bad blood.
That ball is absolutely crushed. Tuck them on in. The Nationals are on the board. Harper hits it high and deep into the right field corner. If it's fair, it's long gone. That one is fair. Home run! And we are tied! And Bryce Harper's done it to Hunter Strickland again!
And the pitch. And he hits Harper. And Harper's going to go out. And now we got a beat. And this is a good one, folks. This is as good as it's going to get for a while.
To go inside, you know, obviously I've left the ball over the plate a couple of times to him, and he's taken advantage of that. So just mostly go inside, and obviously I got it in a little bit too far. You know, I didn't expect that, you know, but it's part of the game, and that's what he decided to do.
It looked like it was intentional to me.
Somebody comes at you like that and throws a 98-mile-an-hour fastball where he did. Wasn't very happy with it, and I just took it into my hands, I guess, and tried to go after him a little bit.
Happy Memorial Day.
Wow.
Remember that?
2017, Coach. I do remember that.
I think we were coming back from Tahoe, and we got in as the game had started and had it on TV. And you're figuring, this is just a nice day for a baseball game. It's Memorial Day. It's the start of summer. Strickland's throwing at Harper. Harper's charging the mound. Posey's not getting involved. We have plenty to react to this week.
Damn, he's in Tahoe right now.
He was in Tahoe.
Javi Lopez, four-time World Series champion, set to join us in about 9 minutes to talk all things Bryce Harper. So here's where we stand. Bob Nightingale, USA Today. You likely heard this yesterday. One high-ranking rival executive boldly predicts the Giants will ultimately sign the 26-year-old star. People are very excited about the possibility of Bryce Harper coming to the Bay Area. In addition, Bet Online, the offshore sportsbook, has odds as to where Bryce Harper will play next season. His former team, the Washington Nationals, 10-1. The Los Angeles Dodgers, 15-2. The Philadelphia Phillies, 4-1. The San Diego Padres, 5-2. The San Francisco Giants, even money favorites at 1-1. Now, a couple things to keep in mind with that. A lot of people get excited about that stuff. Number one, this is a PR tactic on behalf of the offshore books. They know that bets like this cannot be booked in Vegas. So they offer the bets, but with a caveat, very low limit action. You can't put 50 grand down on this. They will take only small wagers. Why? Because they want to be able to put these odds out, gain attention, and have people like us talk about them. People tweet about them.
It's free publicity for the website. So they take a handful of $50, $100 bets and they lose. So what? They chalk it up to marketing. Always keep that in mind when you see this stuff. But they're still setting odds, and they have the Giants as even money favorites. So what am I supposed to make of this?
Well, if there's smoke, there's most likely going to be fire, unless there's some other phenomenon happening. So when you look at the odds and you see the Giants are even money, you have to take the news that they are kicking the tires or they're interested. You have to take it very seriously. They had the four-hour meeting in Vegas. We know that. The team members have been openly covetous and excited about the idea of bringing in Bryce Harper. So you know that it's definitely in play. Now, whether or not someone's going to offer a longer-term, more lucrative deal and take him, quote-unquote, from the Giants, that's yet to be seen. But it feels like if Bryce Harper has to settle, quote-unquote, for 5 years and $150 million, let's just say, that settling location most likely would be here.
Even money. Wow. Lo Neal, you're the guy sending out the tweet yesterday. You saw that. You were fired up. What were you thinking?
I was excited. Jibs talk about with their smoke, there's fire, unless it's Moses in the burning bush.
Amen.
And the bush never burned up, so it was no fire. There was never, you know, smoke.
Yeah, Dibs, you should have accounted for that. Everybody knows that.
How is the bush burning if there's no fire? But we can debate that on our Sunday show.
Yeah, we can.
Deep inside the book with Lo Neal.
So I think there's fire.
I didn't mean to hit you with that.
It was nice.
It's
that
a podcast.
Nice.
Now I'm thinking about all the names from religious podcast. We could do that for
another podcast that we need to do that we probably won't ever do.
Deep inside the book. Book, of course, capitalized.
Yes, of course. Of course.
Where there's smoke, the fire. Anyways.
From the book of Herodotus.
Right. As I digest. Yes. I was excited seeing it, man. I was looking at the odds. And I'm like, wow. I can't believe the Giants are favored. They're favored more than any team out there in the association. So I'm looking at the MLB saying, my goodness, this guy may be coming here.
It could happen.
It really could. And it's like, you know, you think, okay, whatever. This is not going to take place. Now you're starting to see the odd makers out there throwing it around there. You talk about a four-hour meeting that they had with Harper. There's some things that are going on. We don't know exactly what it is, but it would be good if he came here. I would go watch the guy play.
The Chilton Auto Body text line 95795. If Lo was to start a religious podcast, what would be the best name? Chilton Auto Body text line 95795.
Awesome.
Let's leave it up to the people. Dibs gave us a great start, and that was off the cuff, right?
Thank
it's not
you.
Like no. You were planning that.
No. Just he was talking about Moses and the burning bush, and it just hit me that if the bush is the burning bush, how could it not be on fire? And it made me think, we got to get a podcast going.
It's
where
pretty deep.
And I can just, and you, of course, anyone's welcome. We can just talk about the Bible because I feel like we don't get enough time to talk about Jesus on this program.
I have to agree.
Coming from the atheist.
What?
All right. So the odds point to excitement regarding Harper and the Giants, but that's not how everybody feels. Chris Rose, good friend of the program. He's a host of Intentional Talk on the MLB Network. This topic crossed his desk yesterday. He was on with Kevin Millar. Take a listen to what he said about Harper and the Giants.
Mm-hmm. Only the Cincinnati Reds have lost more games than the San Francisco Giants in the National League the last 2 years. They are an aging team. They don't have a great farm system. I don't see them doing a lot of winning this year. I think it's going to be another tough season. So you're right. A short-term deal makes virtually zero sense. Virtually zero set. If you're going to take a short-term deal, you don't think there'd be other teams to be willing to pop in? Let's just throw this out there. 2 years, 80 mil. You don't think a contending team would say, ah, screw it. I'm going to go get him for 2 years and 80 mil. And if it doesn't work out, it's say goodbye at the end of the 2 years. The Giants are not a contender right now. That's hard for their fans to hear because they did so well at the beginning of this decade, but they're not. That's why Farhan Zaidi was brought in to kind of change things a little bit. Simon Harper doesn't do anything for Bryce. Doesn't.
Short term.
Sorry.
No,
short term, no. Right. You give him a deal, right, for 10 years, I'll make it work in San Francisco. For 2 years, that ain't going to be fun. Think of it. And it's not good. That wouldn't be good for baseball either. I hate to say that because I love the Giants and I think they treat their people great up there. It's just not working right now.
That's Chris Rose from MLB Network's Intentional Talk. He'll join us in just under an hour at 7:45. A couple things to dissect there. Number one, he's clearly one of the billions. 2 years, 80 million. We were talking about that all day yesterday.
Yeah.
Great minds think alike. But again, to that point, if the Giants were to offer 2 years, 80 million, you're telling me the Yanks don't want to get involved in that? The Red Sox don't want to get involved in that? The Dodgers don't want to get involved in that? like, there's this idea that the Giants could slide in and offer this really lucrative short-term deal that could get it done. I find it hard to believe they would be the only ones willing to offer something like that up.
It makes sense when you look at some of the other big market, big money teams, and the Yankees are in on every deal, and you just have to look back to last year where the Giants were close to bringing in Giancarlo Stanton, and then Stanton basically nixed it, and he ended up going to where? The Yankees. So you would have to think that when the next, quote, official offer comes out, because remember, Harper already reportedly turned down 10 and 300 with Washington. So if that's the case, if that deal was really on the table and it was a $30 million a year that he said no to, you can't imagine the price coming down much more, if anything, since that deal was made public about 6 weeks ago.
Yeah, he's probably firing his agent. If that's the truth, if he had a 10-year, you know, $30 million a year and he turned it down, because right now it doesn't seem like it's out there. I mean, trust me, the pitchers and stuff, they're reporting this week. You look at pitchers and catchers report. The money can't be there. He would have signed something. The money's not where he's – it can't be where he's at. You look at who he is. You think about what he's done. These last 2 years hasn't been necessarily great years for him. He wants to maximize his money. If there was a $30 million or a $40 million a year out there, I think this guy would have taken it. I don't think that it's out there right now, Joe. I really don't.
I want to focus on Rose's comment that it'd be bad for baseball if Harper were to sign with the Giants.
He didn't say 10. He said 10 years would be okay.
10 years would be okay. But let's say it's a short-term deal. That's all that's out there, and he lands with the Giants. How bad is that for baseball? Obviously, you want your marquee players on marquee teams, and you want them, more importantly than anything else, in the playoffs. You need your stars in the playoffs. Case in point, the NBA has a little bit of an issue right now. If anyone's looked at the Western Conference standings, the most popular player in the NBA is not in the playoffs at the current moment.
Uh-oh.
The Kings just grabbed the 8 seed. The Clippers have the 9 seed. The Lakers have the 10 seed.
Woo.
Sure, by the end of the season, the Lakers, they could find their way in. I'm not arguing for or against, but it is a major problem for the NBA. And this is something sports bettors should pay attention to, because if the Lakers are on the outside looking in late in the season, expect some favorable calls, if you know what I mean.
I resent that, but please continue.
Yeah, but it makes a little sense, doesn't it?
It does. But I still resent it on behalf of all officials.
But that would be a huge issue for the NBA if LeBron James is not in the playoffs. That is going to hurt ratings, just like Bryce Harper landing with a bottom dweller would potentially hurt ratings in baseball. I hate to think it, because coming to San Francisco would be great for us. We could talk about it every day, but would that be a problem for baseball?
It would be a problem to the extent that the Giants won't make the playoffs. And by the way, half of his games will be played at 10 o'clock at night on the East Coast. So not only is it a non-playoff team, most likely, but it's a West Coast team as well. To me, if you wound up with Pittsburgh, you would still have the same problem of him not being on a playoff team, most likely, but at least it'd be East Coast, so a lot more fans would get to view him. So to me, it's a double whammy.
More on this in just a bit, but right now you are listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1, KGMZ San Francisco, a radio.com sports station. Good morning and welcome to your 7 o'clock hour of Joe Lowe and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. Chris Rose will join us at 7:45, but right now we are very happy to go to the phones to welcome back a four-time World Series champion, former Giants southpaw, current Giants analyst for NBC Sports Bay Area, the great Javi Lopez, joining us here on 95.7 The Game. Javi, good morning. How's life been treating you?
Man, things are great, gentlemen. How we doing out there on the West Coast?
Very well. I wanted to share an anecdote with you. I was in Chicago for a wedding back in September, and I was a groomsman in a wedding with our mutual friend, Evan Farner. And I was lucky enough to be regaled of tales from Farner's college days when he didn't think he was going to be pitching, went out drinking, threw this nasty curveball all day in front of all these scouts the next day when he got moved into the rotation, and that's what landed him in the minor leagues. It's a hell of a tale, is it not?
Oh, that's how stories are told right there. That's it. That's how legends are made. You come up with drinking stories, next thing you know, you're drafted and you're moving on.
It makes baseball seem so easy, doesn't it?
Oh, definitely does, especially if you've seen Evan Farner, as you have. He doesn't look like a baseball kind of guy, but he does it.
Well, again, we appreciate you jumping on the show. Let's start with some of the national topics surrounding the Giants. Bryce Harper, Manny Machado, some of the biggest names in the business, have yet to sign. Pitchers and catchers reporting this week, players like Justin Verlander are coming out and saying that this might be an issue for baseball. Buster said at FanFest over the weekend he wouldn't understand why a team would ever want to tank. The goal is to win. Makes perfect sense. But what do you make of what's going on in baseball? This is 2 years in a row now that the marquee free agents are having difficulty finding the deals that they're seeking.
Yeah, it's unfortunate when you look over the landscape of how many tremendously talented players are looking for jobs. And I don't blame the players. When you finally get to that 6 years to get to free agency, you want to have some sort of payday. And that's not to say that they haven't had it in the past, but you know, you can restrict the payments during those arbitration years and kind of hold it down. And now everyone has the same playbook as far as the analytics are concerned. They got the same cliff notes, if I'm going to age myself a little bit, when it comes to that. And they know what they value certain guys. And it seems to be that 30 years old is the threshold now, that they don't want to pay anybody that's around that age. And you know, for Bryce and for Manny, they're both 26 years old. They're both.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.